The fifth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which needs the following introduction, that we have to decide when fruit, vegetables, grain, when is the cutoff that they have Kedusha Shvi'ish and when they don't have Kedusha Shvi'ish. When it comes to fruit, it depends not on when they ripen and they're ready for eating, but when the petals fall off, the petals from the flowers fall off, and the fruit is discernible when it's starting to grow, even before it ripens, even if it ripens after Shemitah. So we're going to talk about an exception here, the Benos Shuach, which is a strange type of white fig that actually took much longer to ripen. It can take 3 years to ripen. So accordingly, it says Shvi Shalem Shnia. This Kedusha Shvi is in the second year of the cycle of Shemitah. So in the second year of the new cycle, that is when the fruit ripens, that has Kedusha Shvi'is, because it started the process of becoming fruit during the Shemitah year. And also, because it's a 3-year cycle of when that fruit grows. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Har Parsos, the similar concept applies to certain type of fig or date. Shvi'is, Shehelem, Motei, Shvi'is, their Shvi'is, they have Kedusha Shvi'is when the fruit ripens in the first year of the new cycle. Why Shen Osar Shleshei Shanim? Because it takes them 2 years to develop. So they may have started to bud during the Shemitah year, but it's going to take 2 years, which is going to be the first year of the new cycle. That is going to have the Kedusha Shvi'ish. Amru lo, but Chazal said back to him, lo amru ela benos shuach. This concept only applies with the benos shuach, with those white figs, not with the parsaos. Mishnah Beis talks about the luf. Now, this is going to be the first of 4 luf mishnayos. Luf is a certain type of onion. And what they used to do when they had this type of onion is they used to store it not in a box, but underneath the ground. So the concern here is that if you are putting what grew in the 6th year underground for storage, it looks like, if you do it during the Shemitah year, it looks like you're working the ground. Hatomen et aluf bashvi. So somebody does hatmana, puts these grown onions, the luf, into the ground during the Shemitah year. So we have to do it in a way that it doesn't look like we are working the ground. Rabbi Meir Omer, 3 requirements. Number 1, lo yifchod misasayim. You have to put together a minimum of 12 kav of these onions. If you do small amounts, it looks like you're planting in different places in the ground. So you have to do a bunch together. Number 2, ad gova shlo. It has to stick out 3 tvachim out of the ground so people see that it's for storage purposes. And number 3, v'tefach hafar al-gabav, you have to cover it with the tefach of dirt on top of it so you know it's storage. It's not just a thin amount of afar for growth purposes that you're planting it. V'chachamim amrim, chachamim disagree with 2 of the 3. Number 1 is lo yifchot me'arba kavim. You have to plant 4 kav, not 12 kav together during the Shemitah year, ad gova tefach, and it has to stick out 1 tefach, not 3 tefach out of the ground, so people see that it's storage, but not as much as 3. And number 3, which they agree with, v'tefach hafar agabav, it has to have a whole tefach of dirt on top of it. V'tomer b'makom drishat adam, another requirement is that when you do the hatmana, when you're putting it under the ground for storage purposes during Shemitah, you have to put it in a place that people are walking, and that ensures that it will not grow during the Shemitah year. Mishnah Gimel, again, luf, sha'avra lav shvi'is. The interesting thing about the luf is that it grows for more than 1 year. It continues growing from year on year, so you could have a bunch of years of growth of the luf, of the leaves coming out of the ground. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, imlak tu ha'anim es alav, if the anim took during the Shemitah year what grew in the Shemitah year, lakatu, it's theirs, they've got their portion. But what happens if they didn't, and it continued growing in the year after Shemitah? We'll call it the 8th year, but it's the first year of the new cycle. Vimlav, if they did not take, and now we have a plant that a combined 7th year Shemitah growth with 8th year, Yaseh Cheshbon Im Anim, the owner has to make a Cheshbon, he has to allocate that part he believes grew during the Shemitah year with what was not the Shemitah year, and he has to give the Shemitah estimate to the Anim, he keeps the balance. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, he disagrees, Im Naktu Anim Es Alav Naktu, he agrees with the first part. If they took during the Shemitah year their portion, they took it, it's theirs obviously, but if they did not take it, and now it's to the 8th year, and we have a combination of 7th and 8th year growth of the Luv, Ein La'anim Alav Cheshbon, the do not get anything, because it's a little complicated, but we'll just say simply that when you get to the time of Birur, which is the time that vegetable is not available anywhere. That produce that was grown is no longer available in the fields during the Shemitah year. You have to take it out of your house. You have to do beer. You have to make it you have to mafkir it. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, once you do that, the owner is allowed to take ownership of it. He doesn't have to be mafkir it to anim. And accordingly, when you go through that process, and now you don't have to give it to Anim, he can keep it for himself, so he can keep that Shemitah component of the loof for himself as well. Mishnah Dalid talks about the loof, and it says, loof shel erev shvis, shenichnash l'shvis. We are now talking about vegetables, and the cutoff for vegetables that have Kedushas Shvis, we saw the fruit before, it's when the petals of the flowers fall off and the fruit starts to be discernible. Vegetables has a very different test. What is Kedushas Shvis is based on when the vegetable is picked. So if you pick it during the Shemitah year, it's Kedushas Shvis. If you don't pick it during the Shemitah year, after or before, it's not Kedushas Shvis. So what happens when you have the loof shel erev shvis? We have this loof that grew in the erev shvis in the non-Shemitah year in the sixth year, shenichnash shvis, and now it's in the Shemitah year. So it is there on the vine, on it's in the ground. But it's not growing. It completed its growth in the sixth year. V'chein betzalim ha-ketzonim. Same thing when we have summer onions. V'chein puash al-idis. And same thing applies to a certain type of plant that from its roots they would make red dye. So the problem here is if people see us uprooting, we want to take, in each of these examples, we want to take the roots out also because the bulb underneath is edible. So the problem is if we're doing that, this is not Kedusha Shvis. We're not going by when we pick it because the growth was totally completed before the Shemitah year. So fundamentally, it's permitted to take it out. It's not Kedushas Feast, but when we take it out, we don't want to give off the appearance that we are working the ground. So Beis Shalmayomim, Okrinasam, B'ma'arufa Shaleitz, you are permitted to take it out with a spade made of wood because you're not using a spade made of metal, but made of wood. It's showing people that we are not dealing with hoeing the ground and planting. We are dealing with the produce of the sixth year, not the seventh year. Beis Shalmayomim, they weren't concerned about this. Perkaduma Shalmatachos, you can even do it with a pickaxe made of metal, not as concerned about Marisayin, people thinking we're working the ground of Modim, even Beis Shammai agrees to Beis Hillel, but Pua Shel Tzla, Pua is the same plant we mentioned before, that from the roots you make red dye, but it's growing not in fertile ground as we saw before, Pua Shel Idis from before, but it's Pua Shel Tzla, so it's growing either on rock, Tzlaot, from the word of Sela, so it's growing on stone, or it's on the side of the field. There are two different explanations what this means, but it's in a growing in a way that people understand that we are not working the ground. You're not going to work the ground on stone. You're also not going to work the ground on the side of the field. So if it's pua that's growing on tzlaot, she'okinos abakarduma shomatachos, even Beis Shammai would agree that you can uproot it with a pickaxe made of metal. Continuing, Mishnah Hey Me'emasai Mutar Adam Likach Luf B'Motzei Shvius. When is it after the eighth year has begun? So here, this situation is, when is it permitted for somebody to buy the luf from an Am Ha'aretz? So here, Am Ha'aretz is somebody who's not strict in this context about the Shemitah produce. So we may be concerned after the Shemitah year, maybe this luf was indeed Shemitah produce. It has the Kedushas Shvis. So can we buy it from an Am Ha'aretz or not? So from when can we start buying the luf b'motzei shvius? After the Shemitah year ends, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Miyad, you can buy it immediately because we don't have to assume when he's selling after the Shemitah year that it grew in the Shemitah. You can assume it grew in the sixth year as well because we said that the luf can stay growing for a number of years. So we have Rabbi Yehuda who is lenient. Rechachamim Omer Miyashiyibra HaChadosh, you cannot buy it right after the Shemitah year. You have to assume if we have an Am Ha'aretz not strict about the Shemitah halachas, that if he's selling right after the Shemitah year, he's selling luf that grew in the Shemitah year. Rather, you have to wait until the eighth year produce of the luf. In other words, the luf grew in the eighth year after the Shemitah year, and that is readily available in market. That's when we can start buying from an Am Ha'aretz. Mishnah Vav, and until the end of the parak, discusses the very important concept of lif ne'iver or misayeya. When are we permitted to sell items or lend items or be involved with somebody who may commit a prohibition with the items or the assistance that we give them. And we're going to start talking about Shemitah, and we will expand it to other items as well. Mishnah Vav, Elu Kelim, She'ena Uman Rashai L'mochro Meshvi'is. These are the type of vessels, these are the type of tools that a craftsman is not permitted to sell to somebody who we are concerned he's going to use them in the Shemitah year, because he's an Am Haaretz, not strict about the Shemitah halachas, Machareisha, the Chokeleh, a plow, and all its appliances, items used with the plow, all the yoke that is used to attach the animals to the plow, v'amizra, and a winnowing fork, v'adekel, and a hoe. All of these are used in the field, and they would, if we sell them to an Am Haaretz, we know they would use them in violation of the halacha shmita. Accordingly, it's prohibited to sell to them. Lif ne'ive lo sitem michsho, we would be aiding and abetting the violation of the halacha shmita. Aval mocher huma galyad, what it is permitted to sell is a hand sickle, umagal katsir, and a reaping sickle, the agala, and a wagon, chokele, everything that's used with the wagon. Why? Because these, there is a reasonable basis that they could use it for a permitted purpose. So even though it's more likely they'll use it for a prohibited purpose, as long as there's a possibility that they'll use it for a permitted purpose, it's permitted to sell it to them, and it doesn't violate leaf neiver or misayeya, aiding and abetting somebody doing a sin. Zaklal, this is the general principle. Kol shemalachtom yuchedes laveira as, or any item that is for sure, it's designated to do a something that's prohibited. In other words, there's no way they're not going to use it other than for something that is prohibited, like in the beginning of the Mishnah, a plow. What are they going to do with a plow, a yoke, etc.? They're definitely going to work their field during the Shemitah year. That's usher to sell to them. However, le'isul ha'heter, an item that they could use for a prohibited use, but it's possible to use it for a permitted use, then it would be permitted to sell it to them. Mishnah Zayin Hayotzer, we have a potter. Mocher chamesh kadeh shemen v'chamesh esre kadeh yain, is permitted to sell to this Am Haaretz who's not strict about the halachas of Shemitah up to 5 jugs, empty jugs that they'll use to for shemen, and up to 15 jugs that they will use for wine. What this is talking about is we don't want to sell an Am Haaretz too much because we are concerned they're going to go into the fields of other people. They're permitted to take the produce, but they may take too much of it and use the grapes and the olives and turn it into too much oil, too much wine. And as we are assisting them if we sell them a large amount of jugs for that, because they're really taking produce that they should not. Shachin darko lavi min hafker, they would be, the normal way is to bring home up to this amount of olives and that amount of wine that would fill up to 5 empty jugs with oil and up to 15 jugs of wine. Continuing, v'mhivi yoser mikan, if they already brought back from wherever they took the produce more than this amount, meaning they can make more oil and more wine, we're permitted to sell them more. It's just lechatchila, we shouldn't. But if they already took the stuff, we don't have to assume they took it be'isro. Mocher lov de kochavim bars, what is permitted is to sell more than those amounts, more than those quantities to a non-Jew in the land of Israel. We don't have to be concerned that the non-Jew is going to sell to a Jew in the land of Israel and facilitate their taking produce they shouldn't during the Shemitah year. Yisrael b'chutzlars is also permitted to sell to a Jew in chutzlars. We're not concerned that those kelim are going to make their way to Eretz Yisrael and aid and abet somebody violating the halachas of Shemitah. Mishnah Ches, continuing in these concepts, Beis Shammai Yomi, lo yimkor lo para choreshes b'shvi'is, is not permitted to sell an Am Haaretz, a para, a cow that has been trained to plow during the Shemitah year, because according to Beis Shammai, we know for certain that they will be using that para in the land of Israel to plow the field. Of Beis Hillel l'matir, and Beis Hillel is lenient because there's a distant possibility, there's a distant possibility that they would shech the cow instead of using it to work and plow the field. Accordingly, we say tolin. We can pin it on that they're going to use it for a permitted use, not the prohibited use, even though in all likelihood they are going to be using it for the prohibited use. Continuing, what is permitted? Mocher lo peiros, afilu b'shas hazer, is permitted to sell in Am Haaretz during the Shemitah year fruit, even when it is the planting season. So in likelihood, he's going to take the seeds out of the apple I sell him and plant the field. But it's also possible that he is going to eat the apple. So we can be told that. We can assume that he's going to be using it for a permitted purpose and we can sell it to him. We also are permitted to to lend him our measuring cup in the size of a sa'af, fairly large measuring cup, even though we know he has a threshing floor and he will likely use it in the threshing floor, but it's also possible he'll use it in a permitted way, so it's permitted. Uporet lomaos is permitted to give him change. He wants to break $100, he wants tens. Even though we know that he has workers and he will likely pay them with the change that we give him, but it's also possible he'll use that money, the change, for a permitted use. So this is not going to be violating, any of these are going to be violating the Isra of Lifnei Ever or Mesayeya, aiding and abetting somebody, because as long as there's a possibility that we are not aiding and abetting, because he will be using the item that we give him in a permitted way, it would be permitted. On the other hand, if he tells us that he's going to be using the items for a prohibited use, asurim, we would not be permitted to sell or lend him those items, because we know then for certain he's going to be doing a prohibition, violating the halachas of Shemitah. Mishnah test, continuing in a similar vein, mashalas isha lechaverta hachashud al hashvius, a woman is permitted to lend a friend, somebody she knows, even though that other person, we are suspicious that she is going to violate the halacha Shemitah, but nonetheless we can be passively involved in that, meaning not actively help her, but we can lend her items that she may use, nafa, a sifter, ukvara, a sieve, a rechayim, a millstone, a tanur, and an oven, aval lo savor v'lo titchanima, but we're not allowed to actively assist her, so we're not allowed to tavor, to sort, or to lo titchan, to grind the Shemitah produce together with her. So distant, indirect help would be okay, direct help not acceptable. Now we're going to apply that concept to somebody we are concerned about, they're not keeping the halachas of Tuma and Tara and taking off Maisor. So in Yeshus Chaver, the wife of a Chaver is somebody who indeed is strict about Tuma and Tara and Maisros. Mashalas Laishas Amars is permitted to lend to the wife of an Amars who is not strict in those areas. Nafa, Ukvara, those are the sifter, the sieve that we just mentioned. Uborreres, not only can she lend her those items, but in this circumstance, she's permitted to assist her, but before she does any of the sinning. So she's allowed to Boreres to sort with her, Vitochanet grind with her, Umarketed and sift with her, Ima, her produce, because there's no prohibition yet. However, at the point that the prohibitions kicking, Aval Mishatati Lamayim, with that wife of the Ama Aretz, this woman who's not strict about Tuma and Tahara and Maestras, when she puts water into her flour, and at that point she, because we're concerned she's Tamei, or Kalim are Tameim, she would make the dough Tamei, the dough includes Chala, so she's making Chala Tamei, which is Aser, at that point the Eishes Chaver, Losiga Etzla, she's not allowed to touch with her, literally she's not allowed to help anymore, Shein Machzikim Yedei Ovrei Averim, because it's not permitted to actively assist somebody who is doing an Aveira, continuing Cholom Lo Amu. And in fact, all of these that we permitted, lending these items, sometimes assisting up to the point of an Aveira, ideally it would not be permitted, but Chazal said they were permitting it, because we need to make sure that we have peace and harmony between those who are stricter about halachas and those who are less strict. We cannot actively assist them in prohibitions, but we still need to do certain actions, although it may lead to their assisting them, but because of Darkei Shalom, to have peace with them, certain things and the items listed in the Mishnah were permitted. Umachzikim yedei ovdei kochavim b'shvi'is, getting back to the Shvi'is context, is permitted to give encouragement to a non-Jew who is living in the land of Israel and working the land, because he's not violating the halachas of Shemitah, because he's not obligated to the halachas of Shemitah. But a Jew violating the halachas of Shemitah, it's forbidden to give them encouragement, because that would be assisting someone who doing a sin. V'sholim v'shlomam is permitted to give a shalom aleichem to the non-Jews, mipnei darkei shalom, because we want to have peaceful relations with them. We can even say shalom aleichem. Shalom is the Shem Hashem. We can even say it during their pagan holidays, because we need to maintain peace and harmony between Jews and non-Jews.